Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Amazon firing managers after a union victory in New York, where labor fits in with the 500 most influential people. And today on the show, it's the latest from the Communication Workers of America. And later, we check in with the postal workers in central Massachusetts. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 10th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on a number of platforms and growing, just to throw out a few. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And I want to take a minute to call attention to our revamped website, where all of our shows are archived going back many, many years. Just check out awfpodcasts.com. Now, awfradio.com still works, but check out awfpodcasts.com. And our producers at BMA Media did a great job. And it's a great form of communication with myself and all the people at BMA Media. So do check that out, awfpodcasts.com. We have two guests on the show today. We'll start things off with one of our longtime sponsors. That would be Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. He is the administrative director for District 4, which encompasses five states in the Midwest: Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Couple things we're going to get into. Number one, heroes pay. And we got to salute CWA Local 4502 in Columbus, Ohio. After months of bargaining, members of that local who work for the city of Columbus won heroes pay and a vaccine reward. That's right. $1,000 in heroes pay to full-time frontline workers, $500 to other full-time employees who work during the applicable time period, and then another $500 for getting the vaccine. So hats off to 4502 in Columbus, Ohio. Frank will talk about that. We'll also talk about a meeting at the White House, which took place last Thursday, and a CWA member was there, along with organizers from the machinists, the retail workers, IATSE, and the Amazon Labor Union. They all gathered to tell their stories to President Biden and members of his administration. That includes Kamala Harris and Marty Walsh. And that day, Chris Smalls, the president of the Amazon Labor Union, testified on Capitol Hill. And apparently that video has gone viral. You might want to check that out. Just Google Chris Smalls and listen to his testimony on Capitol Hill. That's the guy that got fired about 2 years ago and started the grassroots union, which is now the Amazon Labor Union. I got some interesting news about that, too. I'll get to in a moment. The other story, and it depends on how much time we have, is Delta Airlines. Now, the flight attendants at Delta are organizing with the flight attendants union, which is affiliated with the CWA, and they're fighting to hold the airline to its promise to provide new safe uniforms. Now, get this. In 2018, 4 years ago, Delta rolled out a new uniform line. Well, within weeks, the flight attendants started reporting severe adverse reactions, like trouble breathing, headaches, rashes. They even lost their hair. An independent lab test showed the uniforms had high levels of a toxic chemical. I mean, what were they thinking when they were making these uniforms? Well, after the flight attendants spoke out, Delta promised a completely new uniform program and allow the workers to wear an alternative black and white uniform. But now, management is backtracking on their promise, and the workers are being forced to wear a uniform that they don't feel safe in. Go figure. John Flattery will be joining us later in the show, and he comes to us from the American Postal Workers Union, Local 4553, and they cover central Massachusetts, representing post offices throughout that area, the hub being the city of Worcester. And they also touch the borders of Connecticut and Rhode Island. And we're going to talk about COVID's effect on postal workers and postal reform. As you know, Congress finally moved forward and Biden signed the Postal Reform Act, which means the post office The Postal Service does not have to pre-fund health care 75 years into the future. So that's going to pretty much make them solvent. By the way, John started at the Postal Service in 1987, became active with the union in 89, and served in several capacities and became president in 2005. So he'll be one to talk to at the end of the show. National Labor Relations Board found merit in several charges filed by the Amazon Labor Union over Amazon's conduct in the lineup to the Staten Island election. Those charges include that Amazon threatened to withhold benefits from employees if the union vote succeeded and told employees they would be fired if they unionize and didn't pay dues. Most significantly, the NLRB's regional office in Brooklyn found merit in the charge that Amazon's captive audience meetings, you know what those are, mandatory meetings in which employers attempt to dissuade employees from unionizing, they violated the National Labor Relations Act. Now, this follows the board's general counsel's, Jennifer Abruzzo's, April memo to field offices announcing that she planned to urge the board to reconsider precedent permitting these meetings, precedent she described as, quote, at odds with fundamental labor law principles and based on a fundamental misunderstanding of employers' speech rights. So she's kind of jumping the gun. She doesn't have the full board, but she's moving forward, anticipating that they're not going to allow these. Last Thursday, Amazon fired over a half dozen senior managers involved with its JFK 8 warehouse, the same warehouse that won the historic union last month by a margin of 55%. The managers had been in charge of implementing the company's response to the unionization efforts, and various commentators described the firings as Amazon sending a strong message to its other managers. You know what that message is? Lose a union election and we'll fire your ass. That is pretty common. Pretty common. I remember reading a story about Menards. That's the home improvement warehouse started in Wisconsin. They're all over the country now. And they told various managers, if the union comes in, you're out of here. Gone. You don't let them in here. That's how anti-union they are. Many companies follow that as well. Let's talk about Starbucks now. A complaint issued against Starbucks by the NLRB's regional office in Buffalo contained 29 unfair labor practice charges. The complaint documents over 200 violations of the National Labor Relations Act in the lead up to the vote to unionize Buffalo Starbucks, which was the company's first store to unionize. Those included unprecedented and repeated visits by high-ranking Starbucks officials who promised to increase benefits if employees voted against unionizing, threats and intimidation, including surveillance and closing down area stores, and discriminatory enforcement of policies. In a statement, Starbucks Workers United said that Starbucks will be held accountable for the union-busting minefield that forced workers to walk through in fighting for their right to organizing. Staying strong, no doubt about that. And after a long and unified strike, Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689 bus operators for the D.C. Circulator bus system have overwhelmingly voted to approve a new contract with their employer, with more than 150 union members walking off the job. This was last Tuesday in Washington, D.C. It shut down the circulator for 3 days. Oh boy, a lot of chaos there. In the new contract, members of 689 won double-digit pay increases, stronger retirement security, and prevented changes to Family and Medical Leave Act rights and the outsourcing of members' jobs. Ray Jackson is the president of 689, said, "This is a great day for us. Local 689 DC circulated members did what we do best and won. Transit agencies across the country are now on notice." The labor movement stood shoulder to shoulder with these bus operators during the strike. The Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO, Secretary Treasurer of the TTD, all rallied workers on the picket line. "My great-grandfather started on the street tracks here in D.C. after he arrived from Italy, said Sherry Semmelsberger, Secretary Treasurer of the Transportation Trades Department. She said ATU Local 689 gave him a life with great benefits and great pay so he can raise a family of six. That's a strong union. Hats off to ATU Local 689. All right, quick break. Frank Matthews coming up next on behalf of the Communication Workers of America.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And of course, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. You know, labor over the years, especially in the previous administration, had a lot of bumps in the road. I mean, demonized. So many labor leaders demonized. Well, I just want to call attention to an article in Washingtonian Magazine. Over the weekend, they came out with their list of the 500 most influential movers and shakers in the nation's capital. And guess what? A number of labor leaders made the list, topping off with Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO. In fact, she's got a headshot on the magazine cover, along with Bill Spriggs. Bill is the chief economist for the AFL-CIO. We've had him on the show many, many times. The list also includes Roxanne Brown, who's an international vice president at large. She's also been on the show. Everett Kelly, American Federation of Government Employees national president. Let's see, Sean McGarvey made the list. Sean is general president of North America's Building Trades Unions, NABTU. Terry O'Sullivan, general president, Laborers International, presenting sponsor of America's Workforce. Lee Saunders, president of AFSCME. And lastly, Lonnie Stevenson, the international president for the IBEW. That's pretty cool. The 500 most influential movers and shakers in the nation's capital. And a list of union presidents and vice presidents, many of them on America's Workforce, made the list. So I'll tell you, like I said, it's been a tough road for labor for so many years. But I'll tell you, a lot of bright spots from Biden on the way down in this administration and all the organizing that's going on. Well, let's go to line number one. Speaking of organizing, heroes pay, all that good stuff, Mr. Frank Matthews joining us as Administrative Director of CWA District 4, which includes five states in the Midwest. Frank, what do you think of that story? Finally, some respect, huh?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you know, we've been talking for a few months here about the resurgence and just actually the, you know, I was part of a meeting the other day, and they, the you know, one of these survey groups and one of these organizations that had basically polled the American public, and 68%, over 68% of Americans approve of unions. It's its highest probably since the 30s, when the labor was in their heyday, and we actually rebuilt the middle class and built this nation. It rivals those numbers, and 71% would want a union if they could. 71% of non-union employees would mm-hmm. want a union at their workplace, and I think, you know, it's a lot of things. It's a realization, plus it's people saw during COVID that if you work for a union employer, that chances are you survived the whole ordeal a little better and a little yep. more protected. So I think it's a kind of a perfect storm, if you will, and we're ripe with opportunities, and you know, we every day more and more folks are reaching out to all of labor and saying, "Hey, help me at my workplace." You know,
I believe 57%. That's the boost in people filing for union elections in a 6-month period. We're going back to like October until like March and April of this year. So yeah, there's a lot of organizing going on, a lot of organizing wins and heroes pay. Let's talk about your local in Columbus, Ohio, 4502. What's the story there, Frank?
Yeah, 4502. And that's the city of Columbus. They represent the workers in the city of Columbus there. And I think what, you know, basically what had happened was, you know, part of the American Rescue Plan, the city originally was going to give a $500 vaccine award. And, you know, well, that's nice. The local got involved. And another benefit of being a labor-represented workforce, that it isn't just necessarily all the time a thank you, you know, take whatever you can get kind of deal. The local stepped in and said, wait a second, you know, maybe the city could do a little better. You know, so the ultimate goal of the memorandum of agreement that was signed was local had gone in and got this agreement to where the each full-time employee who worked through the pandemic got $1,000, and then add that $500 vaccine award on top of that. So, you know, we had a lot of folks, you know, in across all sectors that, you know, worked the extra shift, worked the overtime, worked the long hours, and worked in pretty harrowing situations during the pandemic, and the local was able to go in and you know, make things better for their members, and I couldn't be more excited for the local or President Susan Wilson at that local, that you know, basically every day the number one thought on their mind is, how do we make things better for our members? And they do such a great job down there.
Excellent job. Yeah. Susan Wilson, president of Local 4502, Columbus, Ohio. Have you been to Columbus lately? I mean, with all the building that's going on and, you know, they're getting ready for that Intel plant. Can you imagine what's happening in that city?
Oh, it's ready to explode. And you know, the thing about that is, you know, it's kind of, it's going to spread out and it's going to go report, it could have an influence 150 miles around the city of Columbus, because, you know, my last meeting I was in said that there will be a minimum of 75 to 100 businesses that are going to be supplying Intel that are now saying, you know what, we're going to have to get it to Ohio if we're going to, you know, supply that plant with everything. So, I mean, it... This will be a real boon for that area, and it could be a crazy decade.
Oh yeah, no doubt about
it. Good crazy,
that.
Good crazy.
Yeah, we're going to check in with Dorsey Hager. He was tied up last Friday, and this Friday he'll be on the show talking about the building trades aspect and what they're going to need. They're looking at least 7,000 construction jobs, and then when the plant goes online, at least 3,000 there, and then like you said, all the businesses that will pop up to supply that area. Oh, my God. It's just on fire in a good way. No doubt about that. All right. Let's talk about this meeting at the White House last week. This was a Thursday. And, boy, just to think about this meeting. Here you got the President of the United States, leader of the free world, the most powerful man in the world. You got Marty Walsh, who comes from Labor, Liuna local out of Boston, Kamala Harris, the vice president. They invite all these organizers to the White House to talk about these recent wins. And they had various unions there, and the CWA was represented. So you've got to be pretty proud, Mr. Matthews.
We are. And to put a plug in for our president, I know sometimes it's hyperbole, but we truly have right now, and we are witnessing the most pro-union president certainly in my lifetime, and probably in the lifetime of most Americans right now. We've had presidents in the past, and I'll just be honest, although they've supported labor, you got the impression sometimes that, union just didn't roll off their tongue as well as it should. This is a president that wakes up in the morning thinking about working Americans, understands that, what it's like to have a union in the workforce, a voice on the job, and that, to your point on the previous story, that the amount of lives that are going to be changed and families that are going to be able to, pay the bills and send kids to college and basically make a living wage because of the plant and the growth in Ohio that we talked about earlier. That's what it's about. I mean, people just want to be happy. And part of that happiness is having a voice to workplace, not having to work three jobs, being able to go to Johnny or Susie's ball game at night, being able to volunteer it's all just connected, because when you have a good living wage job and you're working, say, 8 hours a day, it allows you so much time for your life and to volunteer in the community, to volunteer at the church, to coach the local ball team. It's when people get so bogged down and they're working two and three jobs, that things start to pile up on folks. So, President Biden is the most worker-friendly president we've ever had, and Marty Walsh was a home run. This guy is phenomenal. He probably the best labor secretary that I've witnessed. And, they had a meeting at the White House, like he talked, and invited, Alex Spiedel, who is connected with our CWA code organizing campaign, and he was with the Paizo company, or it's PWC, the United Paizo Workers / CWA, and they're working with CWA like we've been working with a lot of tech companies and entertainment and gaming companies, through our code CWA, and code stands for campaign to organize digital employees, and which has gone phenomenal. It's a group that is really rife with wrongdoing at the workplace, and these folks basically shared with the president and vice president and Secretary Walsh the horror stories that were going on at their company, managerial wrongdoings, inconsistent hiring, pay inequities, and verbal abuse and harassment, and that it was important that they organize, and it's just this would have never happened with the previous administration, a union person even getting invited to the White House, and to actually have a room full of labor people stating how they feel is so huge. I know I grasp a word sometimes, but it's so respectful. I mean, mm-hmm. and that's the word that's coming to my mind, to have a we've always had a senator in Ohio, named Sherrod Brown, that his code is the dignity of work.
Right.
You know, that's it. A lot of people don't respect, regardless of what you do, the dignity of work. Well, and that's always been Sherrod's mantra, and he lives it. And it's so refreshing and respectful that now we have a president, a secretary of labor, and a vice president that appreciate that same dignity of work and know that that's where this whole country either fails or succeeds is with its middle class.
This story is posted on the CWA's website, cwa-union.org. It's titled, CWA Member Discusses Grassroots Organizing Efforts with President Biden, Vice President Harris, and Labor Secretary Walsh at a White House event. That event was last Thursday. And Alex said that the workers and the affiliated with the CWA, it's Paizo? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, they do like the role-playing board games like Starfinder and Pathfinder, it's called, and those kind of games. And that's their niche, and that's their specialty. And he's represents about 30 folks there that had just had enough. And it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, there was a pattern, he said, of inconsistent hiring practices, pay inequity across the company, allegations of verbal abuse from executives and management, and allegations of harassment, which were all ignored and covered up. So that's why they decided to organize. You mentioned the Code CWA, and they have been on a roll. Code CWA workers at Activision's Raven Software Studio are currently voting in their union election. Apple retail workers organizing with Code CWA will begin voting in their first ever union recognition election at Apple on June 2nd, which is right around the corner. All good things happening, and it's happening right here on America's Workforce. We do appreciate that, and we appreciate our sponsors like Frank Matthews on behalf of the CWA. We'll continue with Frank later in the show. John Flattery will be joining us, and he is president of the Postal Workers Union in Central Massachusetts. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. When you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those 5-star ratings. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. We'll be checking in with them 1 week from today. Right now, though, we have Frank Matthews on our live line, Administrative Director of the CWA, Communication Workers of America. National website, cwa-union.org. Frank, you and I have talked many, many years about internet access, the good news with the infrastructure plan. There's going to be a lot of money going into broadband, but it seems that President Biden kind of took a giant leap this past week, and when it comes to internet access for those who cannot afford it. What's the story here, Frank?
Oh, it's really huge. I mean, we've talked over the last 6 months about the broadband build out and the infrastructure plan that this president has put in place. We are personally working with a lot of communities, basically encouraging fiber to the home because, you know, that's the future. You know, there'll be a lot of companies come down the pike trying to do wireless, but it's the future is going to be broadband for this country. And the nice thing about it with this program that the president's put together, it's kind of like taking that extra step. And we talk about the great things this administration does. You know, they provide all this infrastructure money, but then the administration has taken it a step further and met with 20 major internet providers. AT&T is one of them. There's a lot of good share of them are high road employers that, you know, the president's pulled into a room and basically said, "I need you to commit to offer a $30 program." And what's important about that is that, so each one of these providers have agreed to offer a $30 internet package, which is a good price in itself for internet based on today's standards and for effective internet, not just, just throwing something out there to these folks. The important thing of this and the vision that the Biden administration has had on it is that there's a program now out there called the Affordable Connectivity Plan. And folks can learn more about this by going to www.fcc.gov. And then you can't help but click on it. A big thing says helping households connect. You can actually see what the requirements are, and it's pretty far-reaching. I mean, if you're up to 200%, below 200% of the poverty level, that is a pretty good chunk. So if you make below that, you qualify. If you are on SNAP, Medicaid, WIC, receive supplemental Social Security. And what I like about it even further is it's if you're receiving a veteran's pension or survivor benefits from a veteran's pension, that you qualify. And you can go online on that site and click apply now. But what that gets you is a $30 voucher towards your internet. You know, it's pretty easy to do the math that if these companies are offering a $30 program and you apply for a $30 voucher, virtually you are getting free internet in this country. We finally have an administration that understands that the digital divide exists. And to get people engaged in this country and to bridge that digital divide, people have to have access to broadband. And there's a lot happening. We're very excited about it. Folks can go to, like I said, the FCC, or you can just put in affordableconnectivity.gov, and it's that easy. We're going to be part of some groups going around educating folks on this across the country, and I would probably be not lying to say that 80% of our folks out here qualify in one way or another for this, and they just don't know it yet. So just another way of, one of the things that the administration has done. You know, I hate to segue into this, but I just thought of it. I mean, this administration is doing so much, but if they have one weakness, sometimes it's they aren't out beating their chest on everything they do. I was running through my head real quick there, and you know, there's so many things that the Biden administration has done for labor and for working folks. You know, all the way, you know, the $15 for all federal employees, the payroll support program, when they went in and saved the pensions of hundreds of thousands of workers in Ohio alone, the $1,400 COVID relief, the preventing union busting, and and putting real penalties for ULPs, you know, into the Department of Labor, or putting our own Jennifer Abruzzo on the Department of Labor, and Marty Walsh, putting him there to look over workers. There's so many things that this administration has done for working folks, and if they do, you know, so that's why we're really touting this program up, and if they do one thing not necessarily great, at some time it's blowing their own horn, and they really should, you know.
Frank, you're absolutely right. This administration has done so much for workers, and it's just not getting the credit. I don't know if they have to hire some kind of a PR firm to explain what's going on. Maybe that's going to happen in the fall here with the midterm elections, that which is kind of scary when you take a look at some of the early polling, but that's still a long way off. But nonetheless, I mean, you think about the people that make up this administration, Marty Walsh, what he's done in the Labor Department, Jennifer Abruzzo, my God, I don't know how close you are to her, but she comes from the CWA, and she did revolutionary work at the CWA. Did you see the story of recently about captive audience meetings? She said that they are illegal, and that's essentially what big business has been doing for many, many years now. So that's off to what plan. You brought over there.
Yeah, we our loss and the entire country's gain in that case, you know, phenomenal work. Just, you know, you hear about the captive audience meetings at, like, Starbucks and those companies that are organizing now, to where they'll bring in the national manager to and say they're, you know, they're there to look at the carpet, but by the end of the day, there's a big closed door meeting that they can't leave, to telling them the evils of this and the evils of that. But you know, that's going to be huge for labor, you know, banning that, because that's really the only one trick pony that businesses have to try to poopah folks having a voice in the worksite. So it's huge. You're right, and it's certainly CWA is more than willing to share in her case.
Frank, just to go back on what you talked about with regard to internet access, is the best website, I guess you can go to the FCC.gov, but right. You mentioned, what is it here, affordableconnectivity.gov. Is that the best website, you think?
Yeah, affordableconnectivity.gov, and you can actually submit an application there or print out a mail-in application, and you... Folks, if they can also connect or contact their provider and let them know that, you know, and to select a plan and have the discount applied to their bill. So basically, you know, if somebody, even if they don't have one of these $30 plans right now, they can still apply to this and start immediately applying this $30 credit to their broadband bill. So it's huge.
Very good. Frank, one more thing here, and I have to ask you a question. You don't have to wear a uniform at all wherever you go on behalf of the CWA, do you?
No, I used to when I was a lineman. We had a company employee program. The company thought it pretty important to you know, have us brand. So I did it one time, but I don't today.
Now, that uniform that you wore many years ago, it didn't cause any rashes or itching or anything like that? That wasn't the case, right?
No, not at all. We would have been pretty upset.
And, Frank, you know what I'm referring to here is the flight attendants at Delta Airlines. They're trying to organize with the CWA. They're affiliated with the CWA, the Flight Attendants Union.
Yep.
And they want the airline, Delta, to... provide new safe uniforms. And this goes back to 2018 when Delta rolled out a new uniform line. And within weeks, the flight attendants reported severe adverse reactions, trouble breathing, headaches, rashes, hair loss. Turns out that there was a toxic chemical used in those uniforms. Now, the flight attendants spoke out. Delta promised a new uniform program. They allow the workers to wear an alternative black and white uniform, but now I guess they're backtracking on their promise, and the workers are being forced to wear a uniform they don't feel safe in. I mean, this is ridiculous, but if you go to the website, cwa-union.org, you can send a letter to the CEO of Delta Airlines and management demanding that they live up to their promise to provide a new uniform. You know, Frank, this is pretty simple. Don't you think? I mean, there's a lot of companies that make uniforms. Why would you go with one that has some kind of a toxic chemical in it? Can you answer that for me?
Well, I can't. You know, I can only speculate that it's probably the same reason that companies offshore and try to get something done for 20 cents an hour. It's the bottom line, and it's the bean counters, and it's
yep.
and it's corporations thinking of profit over people again, and that's got to be the only reason, and it's always the wrong reason, and you always end up paying for it in the long run, and in this case, it's those employees, and you know, one of those reactions is bad enough, let alone I even saw that there were some complaining that the uniforms were causing hair loss. So, you know, ding, 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 all kinds of, and that was an independent lab test showing the results on the toxic chemicals. So, you know, I think anybody that, like you said, goes online, that's a time well spent. You can click there on our CWA site to just digitally send a letter to the CEO, Ed Bastian from Delta, and say, come on, man, get it together. You know, think about your workers.
Come on.
All right, man.
Great job as usual, Mr. Matthews. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director of the CWA District 4, cwa-union.org. Definitely a check on that story. Flight attendants at Delta Airlines fight for safe uniforms. Hard to believe. 2022, and we got to do this kind of thing. Take care. Stay safe. We'll talk to you in a month, okay?
Take care, my brother.
All right, quick break. John Flattery with the postal workers in central Massachusetts coming up next.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Once again, want to call attention to our revamped website where all of our shows are archived. Just go to awfpodcasts.com. You can still use awfradio.com. But awfpodcast.com, and it is really, really slick. There's a lot of contact information, so if you want to comment on the show, you can do that. If you want to suggest a guest, you can do that. It's important that we connect with our union brothers and sisters, and the best way to do that is to go to awfpodcast.com. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. They're connecting people with employment, which is a good thing, and it's good employment, good wages, good benefits. You can find more at ulagency.org, ulagency.org. In fact, they've got a virtual career fair coming up on May 19th. All the details are posted on that website, ulagency.org. Apparently, John Flattery, on behalf of the Postal Workers Union, will not be joining us today because he has taken ill. And he just can't do the show today, so he is going to be rescheduled here on America's Workforce. Did you know that we are in the middle of National Nurses Week? And I'll tell you, you can't say enough about what nurses do day in and day out. And Marty Walsh, who Frank Matthews talked about as our first guest on the show today, has done so much for organized labor, and he talked about National Nurses Week. As the nation observes National Nurses Week, Mr. Walsh met with a group of nursing professionals from around the nation, this was last Friday, and discussed their bedside experiences with patients during the pandemic, healthcare industry, staffing challenges, the importance of quality jobs, in retaining and recruiting workers. These are all the things that came up in the discussion. Secretary Walsh and department leaders were joined by representatives of the American Federation of Teachers, the Massachusetts Nurses Association, National Nurses United, and the Service Employees Industrial Union. Representatives from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services also took part. Said Marty, staffing challenges existed before the pandemic, but the hardships the nation's nursing professionals overcame for more than 2 years are unprecedented. Day in and day out, these people put their patients and their communities first, and sometimes at great personal risk. The Department of Labor is committed to shoring up this workforce at both ends by attracting more workers to fill the pipeline of new nurses and promoting job quality to keep nurses at work. In their conversation with the secretary and leaders from both agencies, the nurses shared moving perspectives on the challenges of caring for COVID-19 patients, ranging from working despite shortages of personal protective equipment at the height of the pandemic to facing seemingly endless hours of overtime. The nurses also describe trends in long-term staffing patterns at the healthcare industry that have contributed to today's staffing challenges. Other areas they discuss include the need for adequate staffing and real-time off, both for nurses and patient safety, the importance of safety and health protocols to protect healthcare workers, bottlenecks in training nurses, slowing the pipeline, and lastly, the power of unions and how workers can be partners in addressing each of these challenges. Also on hand for the event were representatives from the department's Employment and Training Administration, Women's Bureau, Office of the Assistant Secretary for Policy, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and the Wage and Hour Division. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, leaders from the Health Resources and Services Administration and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services all attended. So once again, Marty Walsh taking the lead in supporting workers in the middle of National Nurses Week. We salute all the nurses out there. I also want to take you to the Steelworkers website. And this is on behalf of Tom Conway, International President of the United Steelworkers, also a proud sponsor of America's Workforce. You may not know this. We've talked about this on the show a couple of times, but the steelworkers represent about 50,000 healthcare workers, not specifically nurses, but healthcare workers. And Tom sent this out. Our union has been sounding the call for safe staffing in healthcare for years. And now we have the chance to use our collective voices to make real positive change. Recently, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services issued a proposed rule that would update Medicare payment policies and rates for skilled nursing facilities to be a more patient-centered model. Makes sense, right? You might be asking yourself, said Tom, what's this got to do with you or the Steelworkers Union? Did you know our union represents more than 50,000 healthcare workers? Thousands of them work in long-term care facilities like nursing homes. Well, for the next several weeks, we, the steelworkers, we'll be collecting stories from not just our healthcare workers, but any member of our USW family who's been impacted by short staffing or staff turnover in a long-term care facility. We will use your stories to compile a formal submission to the CMS, that's the Center for Medicare, Medicaid Services, as they work to establish minimum safing requirements that nursing homes will need to meet to ensure that all residents are provided safe, high-quality care, and our steel worker brothers and sisters have the support that they need. So, take this opportunity to share your personal story and support our USW siblings working in nursing homes. And there are many, 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 many. So hats off to the steelworkers led by Tom Conway, international president. Just go to usw.org. That's the website, usw.org. And tell your story. Tell your story and make a difference. And imagine if you get hundreds, if not thousands, of stories, collective voices to make real positive change. That's what this is all about. One more thing. This Saturday is Stamp Out Hunger. It's a food drive started by the letter carriers. The National Association of Letter Carriers hosting its annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive. This will be Saturday, May 14th. Everyone can pitch in by leaving a bag of non-perishable food items near your mailbox before mail collection this Saturday. So if you get an opportunity in the next day or two, go through your pantry, collect some goods, and put it out there, and your letter carrier will pick it up. They've done this for, oh my gosh, well over two decades, and they collected millions, if not billions, of pounds of food. In fact, hats off to the Letter Carriers Union. I want to play a short clip here talking about this Saturday, Stamp Out Hunger food drive. The Stamp Out Hunger food drive this Saturday, May 14th. Let's listen.
For the first time since 2019, the National Association of Letter Carriers is excited to hold our traditional Stamp Out Hunger food drive on Saturday, May 14th. While the COVID-19 pandemic caused us to cancel the last two in-person food drives, the need for food across the country remained great. NALC continued to collect monetary donations for food banks across the country through NALC's donor drive. Much of life paused or changed during the pandemic, but one thing that remained was the growing need for food assistance across the nation. Today, over 45 million Americans, including 15 million children, experience food insecurity, and they rely on food donations. Please join NALC on the second Saturday in May for the 30th annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive, the largest one-day food drive in the country. Participating is easy. Simply leave a bag of non-perishable food next to your mailbox on May 14th, and your letter carrier will handle the rest. Together, we can stamp out hunger in America.
So again, that's this Saturday, the Stamp Out Hunger Drive on behalf of the National Letter Carriers. And I want to salute the president of the Letter Carriers Union. That would be Fred Rolando, who put this together many, many years ago. Very successful. It's the 30th annual food drive. 30th annual food drive. Again, just go through your pantry, collect non-perishable items, put it by your mailbox for this Saturday, Saturday, May 14th. Stamp Out Hunger. We got a long way to go on that, but every little bit helps. And just to wrap up here, I want to repeat that website that Frank Matthews was talking about. There's a lot of people in this country that do not have that access. I mean, millions and millions of people. Why? Because they can't afford it. They just can't afford it. And you've heard about the digital divide. So you may qualify for this. There's income levels on this. You mentioned the poverty level. But there's a couple of ways to go to get this free, basically free internet access. FCC.gov or affordableconnectivity.gov. Helping households connect to the internet. If you're not connected to the internet, you're lost. You really are lost. So do check that out. Well, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Mississippi Central Labor Council and Unite Here Local 26. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.